What's up, everybody? This is Tanner from TanmanBaseballFan.com. I've had some people recently reach out and say, "Hey, when are you going to drop your next episode?" So I figured, you know what? I better just do it. I've been really, really, really busy recently, so it's been difficult to carve out time to do anything. But we've got taxes out of the way. We've got Easter is come and gone, and now I have some time and. Got a little bit of a story, kind of a bummer of a story, just because I'm really not happy how things turned out. I figured I would kind of use this episode to vent a little bit, but also to talk a little bit about I don't know, the possibility of restructuring my collection and possibly how you too could restructure your collection. Our collections are dynamic. They should be, I think, in order to be as exciting as possible. So I'm going to try to take lemons and make lemonade out of this here. So anyways, let me tell you what happened here. So years ago, I was talking to somebody that I've known for over a decade about a collection. I was going to buy his collection, his all Canseco stuff. And, over the past few to several months, things got real serious about it. Like we were actually going to really end up doing something. It looked like we were, very, very close to doing things. And within the past month or two, we were talking who's going to be paying shipping and, this, that, and the other. Well, at the 11th hour, so to speak, the person I was talking to decided to swap out, said, "Hey, listen, you got a deal. If we can swap out these," which was thousands and thousands of dollars of cards, "for these," which was basically a bunch of real low dollar newer autographs. And it's all Canseco stuff. You go, what? that was a shot to the gut. That's for sure. I was like, what on earth are you talking about? It's like, no, I don't think I could do that. But I made some counters and so, you know what, I think we can salvage something here. I think we can do this. And ultimately, I probably would have done it anyways. It's just, it was a very difficult blow to go from thinking you're going to get one thing with like these incredible cards to quite another. Like just like that, like swapping out like $10 for $1, so to speak. Times 1,000 basically. That was really difficult. But I figured we would do something. I figured we would get something done. Well, it didn't end up that way. Unfortunately, when I was waiting for a response, as it turns out, he was actually dealing with somebody else and sold without telling me or giving me a chance to counter or anything at all. Really, really, really frustrating. I couldn't believe it. I was like, how would somebody do that to somebody? Like, why would somebody do that to somebody? I was pretty heated about it. Cause I felt like I rolled out the red carpet for months and months and months just for somebody else to swoop in and get things. And it's, the collection wasn't publicly for sale or anything. It's something that, I think that I was the one that probably opened him up to it. So to take all my hard work and then just dump it to somebody else's, willing to pay a few extra bucks without me being able to counter was just kind of really crummy. But thankfully, the person that did get it was a friend of mine. And as it turns out, a lot of the stuff, I guess, didn't go with it. So I don't think I fully had a good grasp of what their deal was. And, not that was my business anyways, though I do think that would have been nice if I was privy to what was going on, especially given all the countless hours I had into this thing. But anyway, so I was able to grab a few cards through my buddy instead. It was not the way I wanted it to turn out. And that's how life goes, though, right? Like there's a lot of things in life that they just they just don't work out the way they're supposed to. And it seems to happen a lot. but I will say this, I'm not complaining overall because overall, I'm very thankful. I feel very blessed and very thankful for, for the collection I do have. And, I think it's, something that this will just be a lesson, I guess, for me on how to handle things. Like if somebody goes silent for a little too long, then check in a little more. I don't know. I was afraid I was really kind of bugging him as it was. Well, now I really wish I just kept bugging him. anyways, like I said, it's come and gone. Nothing I can do now. But the thing that hurts is that there's a whole lot of cards that are up on eBay now that I'm going to have to keep looking at, that are selling for great prices that, you know, in my mind should have been mine to sell or keep. So, you know, that's unfortunate. That's part of it. It is just cardboard. Well, it's not just cardboard because it's mine too, right? But, you know, there are far, far, far more important things in life. So what we do, there's one lesson I did learn, and this was years and years ago. I remember there's somebody that reached out to me with a collection. They said they have like this amazing vintage collection, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, that sort of thing. You know, I drive about an hour away. I go up there and there's boxes filled of just 80s junk, like nothing. And there were a few good cards, but that was it. It was 90% was just junk. And I go, huh, I feel like this guy lied to me, but there's still good stuff. And then I go, nope, forget it. Didn't even want to look at anything else. I'm out of here. I left. And of course, you know, I'm more of a polite person. So I said, no, this is what I'm looking for. Thank you for your time. You know, so I'm grumbling really kind of in my head. And then as I'm driving back home, I'm like, why didn't I stop and look at the better stuff and see if I can make a deal with him on that? And I go, man, I feel like I missed out on something. So I decided to apply that to what was going on here. And instead of just getting all flustered and upset and saying, forget it and not look at anything, I wanted to really look at what my buddy got from the collection to see if I can salvage something. So I did get some neat cards, and I'm happy with the cards that I got for the most part. I wanted to talk about some of them, and also kind of I want to tell you a little bit about like what the, you know, my thinking behind some of these things are. Like, so I already told you about how my thoughts are when it comes to actually seeing these cards on, you know, for sale on eBay, knowing that some of my other friends and other collectors are buying cards I want that should have been in my collection, I thought, or I should have been the ones to sell them, so on and so forth. So that's one part of it. The other thing is, as I'm going through this, I'm experiencing like this this kind of FOMO moment, the fear of missing out moment, because there's a lot of cards here that, you know, that rarely show themselves. And so I go, okay, that's fine. I need to take a step back, take a deep breath, but not take a step back for too long, because otherwise there'll be cards that are going to be sold out from under me. So what I did, and thankfully, I think that my buddy that got him, I'm pretty sure he gave me first crack at a lot of the stuff, which is nice, which is very nice. And one thing that I noticed right off the top of my head, as I'm going through, like picking through these cards in the collection, I'm realizing something. I'm realizing there isn't a whole lot of stuff that I want that I don't have already. So that was kind of encouraging. There's a lot of good stuff in the collection for sure. Like it's, I think my buddy that has it's going to do well. But a lot of the stuff that's like the high power stuff is stuff that really either doesn't interest me all that much or is cards I already have. And so one of them was, which was really interesting, is as it turns out, the guy in his collection had a 1999 Skybox Premium Star Rubies, Jose Canseco out of 50. Now, you guys, I got to tell you, this card never surfaces. I've seen more of almost every other 90s Grail card than I have this one. I know my buddy who ended up getting the collection had one of these already, and he's the only one that had this for like maybe over a decade. I knew nobody else that had one. And then one showed up a year or so ago, Maybe 2 years ago, I think it ended up selling for $1,500 or something. And then, somebody finally, like, I think, I don't remember exactly, somebody posted another one recently. But in any event, as it turns out, this card was in that guy's collection, and it wasn't even on his site. It was a card that I didn't know was going to be going with the collection. So I was able to pick it up, and it's a real nice card. It's like, it probably wouldn't grade like a 9 or 10 or anything. There's a few little, little imperfections, but it is a very nice card, and it's incredible to have this in hand. And in fact, I have actually had two versions of this previously already. One of them was a blank back, which is actually a sheet cut. And if you go to KensekoCollector.com, you'll see it on there, because that card, I actually called it a one of one proof, n very naively, by the way. I thought it was like the only one around, but it was a sheet cut. Apparently, it was purchased from the Fleer Skybox, I think that's what it was, bankruptcy auction, if I remember correctly. There's like a picture of one of the sheets that was like framed. So that's kind of neat. It was a unfinished card, like the front was finished, but it didn't have the back. Then later on, like a few years later, I ended up picking up an entire uncut sheet of the 99 Skybox Star Rubies, and it had Jose on it, and it was blank back, and so it's the same as the cut version I had, but it was just uncut. So I ended up selling that entire sheet to somebody, which was, it was real nice. I liked, because the way that the light refracts off of the surface is really neat, and it's also really unique, which kind of makes it even more fun. So I ended up selling it though, because I go, well, I'm not going to cut it out, and I don't really want the blank back by itself. Again, personally, I probably would rather just get the pack pulled version. So this is the, I don't know, maybe the third, what? Yeah, third or fourth pack pulled version that I know of. Yeah, it's really nice. It's fun for variety as well. And plus, anything you can get like serial number to 50 or under, from like 25 years ago or older, is like really, really special, especially if they look nice. So that was kind of a nice, I guess you could say, consolation prize. So, because you get like a 90s Grail card for what that you didn't even realize. And the funny thing was, is the guy during the collection, when I was going through the deal with him for the collection, I looked back at the pictures that he sent me, and that card was actually in one of the pictures. But I scrolled through it so fast, I just assumed that was the 2000 Star Rubies, which that's an incredible card too. It's numbered to 50 as well, and looks really beautiful, but it shows off up quite a bit more often. So so it's really kind of a funny thing that that kind of worked out that way. So this card might be possibly the biggest card in his collection for me that I did not have. Maybe. Definitely, I would say at least in the top three. Again, of cards I don't have or that I didn't have. So that was fun. So I didn't want to just stop there though. I ended up getting a few others. I got back a 93 Finest Refractor, which I've wanted for a while to get back again. I also got the 99 Bowman Chrome International Refractor, and that's numbered 100. And then the 99 Bowman Chrome Gold Refractor, which is numbered to 25. So it's, again, that's half of the print run is the Star Rubies. And interestingly enough, like, I've seen one other, and it was the one that has no serial number on the back. So it was like a sheet cut or something too, I guess. I don't think I've seen a regular one of these also, so that's kind of a fun deal to do. So the other was a 1996 Select Certified Mirror Red, All I need is the blue to complete the trio rainbow there. And I'll go through a few others because there's some stories here I want to tell you. There's a 2000 Upper Deck Authentics Gold Reserve, numbered out 25, on card auto. That probably comes close to at least completing my run of Upper Deck 99 2000 on card autos. And then we have the 2002 Upper Deck Reverse Negative. Now, I don't know why, but I do love this card. I think my buddy John, if you're out there listening, I think he probably was had something to do with me liking this card so much for some reason. So I know he was wanting to get mine a while ago, and after I got rid of it, I was like, man, it's kind of a cool card. It just, but this doesn't fully completely fit my collection. I'll tell you about that in a little bit here. So the next one is a 2020 Allen & Ginter token card out of five. It is a genuine token for the Oakland Metropolitan Transit System, and it's a card. This exact card is one that I found like in a very, little known place online, and I actually traded it to the guy who had the collection. So it basically went from my collection to his collection to my buddy's collection back to me. So it's definitely a boomerang card. Really, really happy to have that one back as well. I got a sweet spot Yankee Greats 2003 red ink autograph out of 25. There's some condition issues, so I'm not, I might want to look for an upgrade on that. I'm not sure yet. And last but not least, well, there are some others, but they're coming in a few more days. Last but not least, this one is an interesting story. It's a 1990 Upper Deck 20th anniversary buyback card. So this one really kind of has a fun story. And I really like these cards that have stories on them. So it's not flashy. In fact, this has a lot of is caused a lot of controversy. If you Google 1990 Upper Deck 20th anniversary buybacks, you'll probably find a thread on Freedom Cardboard from like, gosh, over 10 years ago. And the story, as the story goes, if I remember correctly, I'm kind of halfway scrolling through it now as well. I'm going to reread it again. But anyways, it's really kind of a fun thing that apparently somebody ended up buying some sets at a garage sale. They opened up, and I'll have to read this again, so don't quote me on this, but I'm going from memory. But they bought some 90 Upper Deck sets from a garage sale of all places, opened up the set, and every single one of them has this 20th anniversary buyback hologram on the front. Now, these are not cards that look like something that you could do at home or anything like that. So, because some people said, they're crying fake on this, but this actually looks very, very, very good. It looks like it's got the authentic Upper Deck hologram, and it's really interesting. But, anyways, I ended up picking up one of them. And I think I ended up trading it away to the guy that I was looking to get the collection from as well. So this is another boomerang card, which is kind of fun. So the fun thing is that he had my buddy that bought the collection. He has the two of the three 89 Upper Deck 20th anniversary buyback cards. Problem is I didn't really, I paused for a second. I go, I don't even really like buybacks all that much. The reason why I like this 90 Upper Deck buyback is because of the wild story behind it. And then I was thinking, I don't want to have that kind of money in the pack pulled 89 Upper Deck buybacks and this one, because ultimately, when all is said and done, they're just base cards with a neat hologram logo on the front, right? just, I don't know. And then I started thinking, I was like, oh yeah, you know, my buddy John has one that I sold to him in a lot, which was the flagship 89 Upper Deck. And it might be like one of the only, it might be the only one I've ever seen. Maybe I've seen a couple, one or two others after that. I don't remember. But yeah, so it's very, very rare. And I said, you know what I can do? I can have the pack pulled flagship 89 to go along with the pack pulled flagship 90. And that makes sense to have an example of each. And that's kind of where we roll into where I've restructured my collection, because I've done a few other purchases. I got a 99 Prism Blue that was numbered out of 80 and a Crown Royal Proof out of 50 from 2000. And I started looking at these cards. I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, come on, Tanner, what are you doing with your collection? So, because I really like to stick with ultra high end and ultra high end for Kenseiko, and like super rare stuff as well. But it has to like have a good story or really be eye-catching or something. And so that's when I started looking at these cards. I go, okay, well, the buyback has an incredible story as ultra rare. And then, you know, the token is just kind of a fun, unique card that you don't see every day. It's like wildly different from all those other cards that you see out there. The reverse negative is just something I had like a history with. And as I started going down the list, I was like, you know what? I think I did good with these purchases. I think I did decent. I like what I have. There's one, maybe two cards that I picked up where I think I just let FOMO get a hold of me. And I bought them. Thankfully, they were not big cards, but I got them. I go, why did I get this? You know, why this doesn't make sense to be in my collection. I don't really like it all that much, but you know, but it was just that feeling of like, oh, I'm never going to see this card again, or not for a while. I've got to get it. I've got to get it. And I go, you know, it's okay. It's okay. I can always, you know, move them later if I want or whatever, but it's fun to be able to have multiple reasons for certain types of cards. You know, I love the 90s stuff, of course. And I really think that it's interesting that people can, you know, stick with playing year, playing career cards only. Like, so for instance, Kenseiko, I think he announced his retirement in 2002. Excuse me. But, his last at bat was 2001. So for those that collect Kenseiko only up to 2001, 2002, I understand it. I get it completely. But for me personally, there's so many other cards out there that I think you're missing out on. They're so incredible that never really appeared in cards. So for example, you only have really two issues, two, three issues that had patches during his playing career. So if you're talking about 2001, it's really two cards, I think, two card types. 2000 Upper Deck game patch and 2001 Upper Deck game patch, and there's a gold version of that as well. So now as you get going late in later on years, you have super fractors, you have buttons, you have barrels, you have knobs, you have nameplates, you have all kinds of really amazing stuff. So that's what I've done, is I've really kind of limited my collecting experience for the newer cards to be like the barrels, knobs, super fractors. And even then, I try to limit it to one each. I try to, but that doesn't work out so well. I've got three barrels now. I've got you know, probably four or five super fractors. And yeah, so I think I should probably pare that down a little bit. What, how many super fractors I do have? Yeah, I think it's like, yeah, maybe three, four, five. It's got, yeah, maybe four or five. Huh. Anyway, yeah, so it's kind of an interesting, fun way to collect, because, and there's really like, I posted a Babe Ruth card that I created using a Sweet Spot signature, today on Facebook. And one guy goes, just great. First, we have to collect all these other guys and these other players and these other companies. Now we have to collect cards from guys who are you know, just normal people that are creating cards? And like, well, the answer is no, you don't have to collect anything. You know, that's the beauty of collecting. You can collect whatever the heck you want. And it doesn't have to make sense even. Like, it can make sense to you, and hopefully it does make sense to you, even if it's just, I love the card, you know. that's all the desire you need. The time that it starts to be problematic is when you're collecting cards because everybody else thinks it's cool. And I've fallen into that trap, you know, like it's and then when you get it and then the player ends up going on a cold streak, you don't like the player as it is, then you're stuck with a card that you don't really want. And the price went down on it, you know? So, you know, when it comes to collecting, definitely collect for you, collect for yourself. Don't collect for anybody else. And have fun along the way. And also, yeah, you know, there's a fine line I think you need to walk when it comes to collecting. Like, you don't want to let FOMO get a hold of you where you're like freaking out and you're like, oh no, I'm going to miss out on this amazing sale. And then you end up buying things that you don't want. But on the other side, you don't want to hold back too much where you get nothing and you have regrets. I know this is obviously, this is like a no-brainer thing, but I think sometimes it helps when somebody can hear this like verbally out loud. And I'll give you an example. There's a couple cards that I was talking to my buddy that he had just listed them online. Excuse me for coughing. I think I've apologized for coughing the last several episodes. I don't know what my deal is. But anyways, he posted a few cards that I wanted. And I reached out to him about price because they're cards that you don't really ever see. And I go, man, those are rare. So I got to ask. And so we couldn't come to a price. And I go, you know what, Tanner? This is just an instance where you need to hold off and you need to not worry about it. And so I backed off and somebody else ended up buying the two. And, you know, my buddy told me, he's like, hey, so-and-so bought these. Okay. All right. And I step back and go, you know what? That's a good thing. Because if I spent that kind of money on those two cards that I was asking about, I wouldn't have really wanted them. They would have been in a box. And as I shuffled through them, I wouldn't have been like, oh, I'm glad I got those. You know, I would have been like, eh, well, they're rare. Yeah. And that's it. That's not exactly what I want. I want some like landmark type cards, or cards that just make me, you know, get goosebumps when I see it, you know. So speaking of goosebumps, there is one card that was really interesting that I ended up picking up. Interestingly enough, this card actually blows away everything in that collection by a country mile. And it is a card that I just posted on YouTube. It's 2021 Top Sterling Canseco Autograph Bat Barrel. And you guys, like, it is an incredible card. Like, it is my favorite, absolute favorite Canseco autograph barrel card that I've ever seen in my whole life. And it is an incredible, incredible piece. So it goes to show you that even though you miss out on something massive, there's always something massive around the corner too. Now, granted, a massive collection versus one awesome card, that's, you know, that's kind of difficult to compare, but it is nice to have what I consider to be his best barrel card. So that is nice. And it's fun to think, okay, well, hey, listen, this is a really a work of art. So to be able to walk away and have lost the collection, but to have picked up what might be the best or one of the best cards in that collection I lost out on that I didn't have already, and pick up the barrel, man, not a half bad consolation prize. I just gotta say that. So anyways, onward and upward, right? We gotta go forward and see what else there is. It's not the first disappointment I've had in this hobby, and it will not be the last. But guess what? When it comes to highs and lows, the highs overall outweigh the lows. And I love this hobby. You guys know I do. It's a fun thing to be able to unwind and relax, and it's fun. It's like a never-ending treasure hunt. And you guys, like, even just the fact of being able to, like, take a look at this 99 Bowman Chrome gold refractor numbered out of 25, looking at it, and when I look at it, there's a few things that get me excited. I love being able to post about the new cards and a little, tell a little story about it and everything. But also I like to see how often they show up. And there's something special when you get a card and you're like, man, I've never seen this one before. You know, it's really kind of a fun thing. And also, I guess one of the positives, which is kind of neat as well, is as my buddy's selling these cards in the collection, a lot of the stuff, a lot of the high-end stuff I already have. So it's fun to be able to see what the market will bear for them. Like one of them, there's a 2010 Exquisite Base Kenseiko card that sold for $900. I would never, like, my buddy asked me how much I thought it would go for, and my other buddy who wanted to get it asked as well. And I said, oh, it's probably between $200 and $300. And sure enough, it goes for, you know, like three or four times what I said. Yeah, okay, you guys, never listen to me again. I don't know what's in the minds of other buyers out there, other collectors out there. So it's kind of fun, you know, because it's like I've got one of those, and I've got the, and that's the lowest card of the four Kenseiko cards. They're four Kenseiko collector. It's the lowest one in the set. And the highest one I'd have to say would be his single patch card. And so not too long ago, that card would have probably gotten close to that price. And when I say not too long ago, maybe, you know, 10, 15 years ago. but now the base card, the non-autographed, non-patched, non-relic, anything, got $900. That's crazy to me. But anyways, like I said, it's fun to see what the market will bear on those cards without me actually having to sell my cards in my collection. So kind of a neat thing there. So anyways, I will end it on that. And I don't know if this helps anybody. I'm sure you all have experienced your share of disappointments when it comes to deals not going through. And that's just part of the game, right? You know, it's part of how it goes. But like I said, there's always something that we can, well, I think at least there's always something that we can learn from these kinds of situations where you miss out, you know, and I guess it also teaches us resilience. Okay. Onward and forward to the next one, because there's always something else out there just waiting to be cracked at. So there it is, you guys. This is the latest episode. Thank you as always for listening, and I hope you all have a great rest of your night.